The program you just heard, Labrish with Haptah Selassie, will be back in 2 weeks, and right following the work of the Midnight Ravers. And it is 5 o'clock and time for Back of the Book. Pleasure. Love you all.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Midsummer is Ending. Here comes late summer. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear. And a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things on this program. And you can find out a little bit more about that by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com, and you can look around there, and you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left-hand side of the screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that. You will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 103rd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the week through the entire multiverse is we have reached the giddy heights of 121 followers on Twitter. Oh, the entire multiverse is quaking at all the power we must wield. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, September 14th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The WBAI local station board met this past Wednesday, August 10th, and there was a lot of disagreement over the agenda, and then we didn't even get to the part of the agenda that we've been discussing, but I think eventually we'll get to it. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 594,742,658 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,450,159. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 93,478,918, and the death toll in America had reached 1,040,126. So 6,705 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 2 weeks ago. That averages out to about 3,353 people per week, which is a slower death rate than we've had for the previous weeks, but not gigantically slower. The pandemic is not over, even though a lot of people are behaving as if it were, including the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC. The CDC is saying that they screwed up the response to the pandemic. I think they're screwing it up now. It's still going on. I mean, it's happening. People are dying. I just read that 6,700 people died in the past fortnight of COVID-19 in America. And, you know, there are also things going on. People want to make believe that it's all over. The buses still say masks required, but most people are not wearing masks on the bus, and the bus drivers don't always wear masks. And we know this because this past Monday, I had to go get some blood tests done, and we went to the VA hospital, which requires taking buses. And so we took buses, and we got to see most of the people on the bus were not wearing masks. And it says masks required. They walk in, you know, the ones who pay walk in, and they don't have masks. Some of them don't pay. Some of them don't have masks. So, yes, I mean, you know, I'm saying some people who don't have masks also don't pay to get on the bus. So, yeah, that's stuff going on. Anyway, so, yes, people are ignoring this and making believe, oh, it's so inconvenient, and they're not going to bother with it. This is not a good way to survive a pandemic. There are still people dying every day. And I guess it's general denial that's going on. Maybe if something happens and the rate goes up, maybe, or maybe it just keeps going on at this rate, 3,000 a week for the foreseeable future, maybe people will start to say, hey, we got to do something about this, and start thinking they have to really watch out because this is a real threat to life. But right now, that is not happening. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. And this was all mostly preventable. And then there's this thing with monkeypox. Yeah, I think it has been allowed to get as far as it has because it's perceived as being a problem affecting only gay men. This reminds me of how AIDS was treated early on. And people, you know, some bunch of gay guys get sick, who cares? That was an attitude. In fact, that was sometimes an articulated attitude. But yeah, I remember in the early 80s, and it started coming out that, oh, the gay men are dying of this and getting sick. First of all, they noticed people coming into hospitals, and they noticed a number of them were gay. And the thing that really, I think, got attention was Kaposi's sarcoma, because that came up on your skin, you could see it. And so they said, huh, you know, these guys are gay. And so they started referring to it as the gay cancer. Thank you very much. And so they did that. And from there, it was just a thing of, you know, it doesn't affect anybody we care about. And so that it went on and it galloped along, and things weren't done about it for a long time. And yeah, it got a head start. It got a head start. Of course, part of the head start was it's a very stealthy disease. You get infected with HIV. It's going to take you years to start showing symptoms. So that was a big part of it, too. However, right now we've got this monkeypox thing. And this shows up right away. I mean, I think it's within days, if you have it, you start showing up in your skin. And in the case of monkeypox, there's a big important difference. One, it's not a general killer. Whereas with HIV, it was like 100% certain death early on. Luckily, not that way now. But in the case of monkeypox, they have a vaccine. And the vaccine exists because it's not too different from smallpox, which has been eliminated and pretty much from the world. And they really need to get the vaccines to people to prevent the spread of this thing. It's going to keep going. They need to get this vaccine to people and inject them. And we also have this bizarre thing of New York isn't getting the bulk of the vaccine when New York is where the bulk of the people who are infected with it are. What the hell's going on there? As mentioned at the top of the program, Midsummer is coming to a close. Yes, this is the last Midsummer program of Back of the Book. And, well, late summer begins on Monday, this coming Monday, August 22nd at 6:33 in the morning. So there is that. And yeah, late summer can be a very interesting time of year. And it goes on into late September. And oh my, the middle third is coming to a close here. But at least Pickles and I got out into the middle third this past week. We got to go to the VA hospital and have them take like half a gallon of blood out of it. They took a lot of blood tests. And after that, we went to Coney Island. And I have to say, there have been some odd changes in Coney Island. The Zamperla company now has, it seems to own, the south end of Stillwell Avenue and most of West 15th Street in Coney Island.
Well, it's renting out all that real estate from the city because the city owns all that property there. So, huh. So they're the preferred tenant, apparently.
God. Anyway, so it's very strange right now. You have to walk through other things to get to the boardwalk from Stillwell Avenue. And I don't know, there's a lot of stuff going on there that just strikes me as odd. And, oh well, we'll see how this works out in the future. And I have to say, they have new signs up that say bicycles can be on the boardwalk from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and motorized scooters and bikes and other things that are motorized can't be on the boardwalk at all. So, of course, we're walking around, and people have always been riding bicycles on the boardwalk after 10 o'clock. They just ride it all day long. And now you've got a whole lot of people riding scooters and little bikes and scooters that are like little ones you stand up on, and scooters that are like Lambrettas. That's a company. And one guy with an actual motorcycle while we were there on the boardwalk. So Jesus Christ, I think a lot of this goes on because basically I think there's an unannounced, unofficial police strike going on in New York City. I think the police got pissed off by the demonstrations in 2020 against, you know, police murdering people. And so they're saying, we're not going to bother with some of these things. Let people run each other over. We're not going to care. And I think that's what's going on. That's what it looks like to me anyway. But anyway, so we walked out and we got to be on all of that stuff, and it's good to get out. What we did was we sat on some benches along the boardwalk. We took our masks off. The only time we took our masks, well, we had to take them off to eat at the VA hospital, but at the VA hospital, they were at least still separating everybody by a large amount, so you weren't, you know, right near somebody. And when you're eating. And so when we got up onto the boardwalk, we looked around. There's nobody here. We took off our masks and said, here we are in the sunlight. And we can smell the sea there, you know. Well, the sea is – we can smell the harbor, which we can see the sea. We can see the sea because it's just out past the Rockaways there. So you can see the Atlantic Ocean from the boardwalk. And we really enjoyed that. That was nice to be able to do that. We did it once last year. And we're hoping we can go do it again on Monday. We'll see what we can do. And, oh boy, I'm looking forward to, I think, September when I will be eligible. Certainly, Pickles of the North will be eligible for her big BA4, BA5 booster, and I may have to wait till October to get mine, but I'm looking forward to it because then maybe we'll go out some more and see what the world is like. A lot of changes everywhere. I mean, geez, there are buildings gone that were there the last time I was past certain blocks. Yeah, I've been locked in for all this stuff. But it's still summer. It's still summer, and it will be late summer, but that's okay, too. Summertime I've always enjoyed. It's my favorite season. It's not Pickles of the North's favorite season when you have heat waves. But I even find the heat waves okay. One of the things that is from the past that I used to like, well, let's play this fast commercial for you.
Palisades has a ride, Palisades has a fun. Come on over. Shows and dancing are free, so the parking's so gee. Come on over. Palisades from coast to coast, where a dime buys the most. Palisades amusement park swings all day and after dark. Ride the coaster, get cool in the waves, in the pool you'll have fun. So
Palisades. Oh, boy. You know, I used to go there a little bit, not too much, because you have to get over to New Jersey first. And then it cost a dime to get in. Oh, unlike Coney Island, where you just walk down the street and bang, you're in Coney Island. But yes, Palisades Amusement Park, I remember that as a kid. I had been there any number of times, not constantly, but quite a number of times. And, yeah, we used to go there, and it was a good place. It was different. It was different from Coney Island. So, yeah, you're seeing a little bit of something else. And, of course, they had that pool, the world's largest outdoor saltwater pool, they said. And it was. And so I went to that pool only certainly once, maybe twice. I'm not sure I went there twice because you had to pay extra to get into the pool. And so my parents and I used to go there. I was a young kid. And we would go there, and we went to that pool a couple of times. And I said, we have to pay to get into this. We can go to Coney Island and stand around in the real salt water in the ocean stuff. And so, but we went there, and it was okay. And they had a wave machine at the far end that would make little waves, and people would splash around, and the water was quite clean because you didn't have all of this sea life in there doing stuff that sea life does. Yes, every life form produces waste. And you also didn't have any reproductive stuff going on around you, because that's something else. It was much cleaner water, of course, but it was pretty sterile stuff, too. And you couldn't dig in the sand for very far. It's just some inches of sand on a platform. But we went there, and that was okay. But mostly it was rides. You went to their rides, and I remember one time we went there, and it was a family outing. We were there with the extended family, and it was my aunts, plural, and uncles, plural, cousins, plural, and all of these people, and my parents, and my grandmother. And it happened to be on, I think it might have been a Sunday morning, Saturday or Sunday morning. That's when we could go there. I mean, my father couldn't go there in other times because he had to work all the time. So did everybody else. And so it was one weekend morning, and we got there quite early. We opened the place up, I think, and they had a star there. A star was showing up at Palisades Amusement Park, and the star that weekend was Johnny Jellybean. Yeah, a guy named Bill Britton, who eventually became at least a, maybe the Bozo the Clown. This guy, he was a comical character, okay? He wasn't dressed per se as a clown, but he was, you know, dope. And really, it was for little kids. And he would have a song, you know, Jelly Beaners, Jelly Bean. And so he's riding around with like a propeller beanie with two or three other little kids in a little kids ride, sort of like a whip, but not really whipping. And he was riding around with that. And my grandmother looks at this and says, "What the hell?" And she's looking at him. And so he goes by. And since it's a small child's ride, it ends early. It just goes around in a small loop. And he comes around. And after a bit, he notices she's looking at him quizzically. And we're telling her, "No, that's a guy from TV, and he does a show." And my grandmother's looking at him because he's so strange looking to her. I mean, she was born in the 19th century. And so he says, "Hey, hi, Grandma." Because she's looking at him. So that's his thing. If somebody's staring at you, you say hello to them, you know, in the hopes that they won't, you know, draw a gun and shoot you or something. And so my grandmother got a laugh at it. She says, "Hello," you know. I think she couldn't get his name right and just said, "Hello, something or other, and, you know, Mr. Jellybean or something." And so that was that. But, yes, we went on those rides and we had a good time. And then the developers showed up and they said, "This will make some nice real estate. We could make a killing if we put condos here." And that's what happened in 1971. That was the end of Palisades Amusement Park. And I think Fort Lee, New Jersey, which is one of the places, it straddled two parts of New Jersey. And it was one place there where they said, "We could turn the world's largest saltwater pool into a municipal swimming pool." And they looked to it. However, unfortunately, vandals had gotten to all of the stuff. And I think what they did was they had a pipe that came up from the Hudson River, which is at least brackish most of the time. And because of the tide, you could really pump in real salt water from the sea when it got that far up. And they had to have filtration devices and all to deal with things. And apparently vandals had gotten into the machinery and destroyed it, so they couldn't even do that. But yeah, I remember that. I mean, it was interesting to me that Coney Island wasn't the only amusement park in the area. Of course, you also had things that were a big schlep. It was a big thing to go over to New Jersey and then pay a dime to get in there. So we didn't go so often. But you also had Keensburg, which was another amusement park, which you had to go into by boat. And there was another place like that you had to go to. It was a big schlep to get to. And those places don't exist either anymore. But Coney Island is still there. And, yeah, Palisades Park lasted from 1898 to 1971. And a family owned it. And the last person in the family died. And that was about it. And yeah, it was quite a thing. They did have some racial discrimination issues there at Palisades Park in the late 40s. That wasn't going on by the time I went there. I would have gone there in the, I guess, the middle 50s, middle to late 50s. And so, yeah, That was quite something to go to Palisades Park, and I remember it, and oh yeah, that was an amusing thing. Youth in the summer. Well, Pickles of the North reads a lot. She reads books all over the place. She's constantly getting stuff out of the library. I'm mostly a slug. I read stuff online, and, you know, I get magazines and the Times once a week when we could afford it. But Pickles of the North reads actual books all over the place. And, oh boy, right now she's reading one, and it kind of also relates to real life as we know it. Right now, Pickles of the North is going to talk about a novel from 1953 that may be a little bit prescient.
Yes, and it is bizarrely so, I might add. It's The Kraken Wakes by John Wyndham. He wrote a bunch of books, some of which you may be familiar with, dear listeners, because you've seen the movie version. You might not necessarily have read the book. He wrote The Day of the Triffids, everyone's favorite flesh-eating plant life. He wrote The Midwich Cuckoos, which went to the screen as Village of the Damned. And he wrote, among other things, The Kraken Wakes, and that is also a science fiction novel. Published in 1953, you never get to see the aliens. We aren't even sure there are aliens. Well, we're sort of sure there are. In the novel, there are these big red massive lights in the sky that plunge into all the world's oceans. And for a while, nothing happens, or so everyone thinks. And then the weather starts changing, and now these big fogs keep rolling in, and then, oh, bad things happen at both the poles, and the sea levels start rising. And at first, the free countries think it's the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union thinks it's everybody else doing this, and everyone realizes, oh, no, it might have something to do with all those lights that plunged into the oceans. So, but it is kind of amazing, his descriptions of what happens. Because unfortunately it's happening today, of course, for real. So I thought I might read you a little excerpt from The Kraken Wakes. And by the way, I had to look up what exactly a kraken was. And it's a mythological creature, Scandinavian origin, and it looks like a gigantic squid that would attack sailors. I mean, there was a time when I think people thought this was real. Of course, they also thought that mermaids were real. Aren't they? They must be. They have a parade every year. They've got to be real. Anyway, here's a brief excerpt from The Kraken Wakes by John Wyndham. At the end of the Antarctic summer came news via New Zealand of glaciers in Victoria Land shedding huge quantities of bergs into the Ross Sea, and suggestions that the Great Ross Ice Barrier itself might be beginning to break up. Within a week came similar news from the Weddell Sea. The Filchner Barrier there and the Larsen Ice Shelf were both said to be calving bergs in fantastic numbers. A series of reconnaissance flights brought in reports which read almost exactly like those from Baffin Bay and photographs which might have come from the same region. Again, the more sober illustrated weeklies ran rotogravure views of great masses plunging into seas already dotted for miles with gleaming bergs, and produced studies of individual bergs above such captions as Nature's Majesty, with Gothic pinnacles aspiring, a new Everest of the sea sets out upon her lonely voyage. The menacing beauty of this berg, freshly calved by the David Glacier in the Ross Sea, is romantically caught by the camera. In many parts of the Antarctic coastline, the production of such bergs has been so extensive that ice shelves hitherto regarded as permanent have been shattered by their fall, and open water now replaces the frozen sea. And that's happening right now. So But he has aliens doing this. You never get to see the aliens. There's just bright lights in the sky into the ocean, and the oceans start warming. And this is what happens. Oh, brother.
Yeah, well, we didn't need the aliens. We're doing it to ourselves.
No, we have seen the enemy.
And we are it.
Because all you of Earth are idiots.
And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Yes, it's the pitching train. It's the WBAI pitching train coming in again. Oh, boy, what are we going to say? We're going to say 1-212-209-2950 when we're going to beg you for bucks. Oh, boy, we had a staff meeting the other night, and the general manager is telling us, we got to raise money or we're screwed. And it's true. It's true. We need to raise more money. Also, they're looking at each radio program, and we'll have to see what happens with that. Basically, we need to raise money because we have these bills and we have to pay the tower rent. That's 4 Times Square. It's more than $16,000 a month to pay that. And we can't do without it. Without that, there's no transmission going out here. We can't go up to the top of the 3-story building we're at in Brooklyn and just, you know, stick up a car antenna and broadcast, because you're not going to be able to hear that. You know, you'll hear it a few blocks away. Actually, it would be a real problem, because if we put 50,000 watts effective radiated power there, it would be a great deal of power, and we'd probably melt anything we put up there. Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. I just want to make sure you know that's the number we need you to call. That's 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we talk about all sorts of things on this radio program. We do science stuff that you don't generally get elsewhere, and we could maybe, I don't know if we're going to get to the science stuff. We did some nostalgia stuff here with Palisades Park, and we talked about other things. But we may or may not get to any science on this program. But we got to it on the last program. We'll get to it on another program. We do the science stuff here. And we do these other things that, at least at some point in time, people have liked. But we're not raising much money. We need you. We need you to go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950. And when the person at the call center picks up the phone, we need you to tell them you want to pledge some amount of money in the name of Back of the Book. That's the name of the radio program, Back of the Book. And tell them Back of the Book, because it's possible people aren't saying that and the call center people aren't writing that down, therefore, and so we're not getting credit for stuff. We don't know. We do know that Tony donated earlier in the summer, and I think Tony may be the last person who donated to this program, in the name of this program. And so please join Tony by calling 1-212-209-2950 and say you wanna join WBAI. And if you pay $25, you're a member of WBAI and Pacifica. And whenever we have elections, you'll be able to vote in them. And for others, there may be other stuff we have to vote on, too. Oh, boy. And there are all sorts of changes that may be coming. There's talk of, somebody at Pacifica noticed that at some stations, music programs make money. There may be a push to have a lot of music programs going on, more than we have now. And so that could happen, and I don't think we're going to be able to buck that trend if they decide they want to grab hold of 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning. As I've said before, we had an email from management, and management has said that they're really going by the Nielsen ratings these days, and the Nielsens show us with zero listeners and zero share. Well, you know, we are in a time slot that isn't known for getting a lot of listeners to it. And so we're going to come under scrutiny here. And if there's something to push out, we might be it, because we're also not raising much money. I mean, raising a little bit here and there, they're not going to be that interested. They want to put something in here that they think will raise like $1,000 a week. We ain't doing that. But we do need to have some of you call up. We used to raise more than we're raising these days. And we used to raise, you know, at least hundreds of dollars every time we pitched. Now, we're pitching all the time now, but that amount of dough isn't spreading out over the entire time we're pitching. So we need you, yes, you, to get up and go to your phone or just reach over and grab it and dial 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to make a pledge in the name of Back of the Book. If you want, you can also become a BAI buddy. A BAI buddy is what we call a sustaining membership at BAI. And what that means is you call them up at 1-212-209-2950 and you say, oh, you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you then will tell them how much you would like to donate. And a BAI buddy donates once a month. And you tell them how much you would like to donate. You could donate as little as $5 a month. And you could donate like $5, $10, $15, $20 a month, whatever you want to donate. And you also tell them what day of the month you want your card charged. Because to do this, you have to use a credit card or a debit card that they can charge. And that's how that works. And we need some of you to do that, because I know that one of our, I think we had two BAI buddies, and I think one of them is ill now and may not be able to be a BAI buddy at this point in time. Get well soon. And get well soon, Pat. And so we're also hoping that we can get some of you to get up and donate right now and maybe even become a BAI buddy. If we don't, we may be gone in the next few months. As I said, Pacifica is looking at things, and Pacifica is the foundation that owns WBAI and four other radio stations and other stuff. And so Pacifica is thinking music is the way to go, because all of Pacifica is having money problems. So we need you to help us out. We need you to get up, go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950. Also, we had somebody on a meeting the other night who was suggesting, making the suggestion, hey, just rent out the station's air from midnight to 6 a.m. Get some place to rent it out, and that way we'll be able to make ends meet. And people have said that before, but people are saying it again now. Oh, boy. So when you donate to Back of the Book, in the name of Back of the Book, you're also helping all of the overnight radio programs on WBAI. You are telling management that, yes, these overnight radio programs do have listeners, and they have listeners who will support the station. And if management gets that message, they're not going to necessarily be as open to the suggestion that they rent out the entire station from midnight to 6 a.m. 7 days a week. Yes, it would be 7 days a week. So you can help us by calling 1 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. Tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or tell them you want to make a one-time donation in the name of Back of the Book. And it's really important that you mention a name, because I think if you don't mention a name, it just goes in as a general donation. 1-212-209-2950. And we can't tell who's donating right now because we have to pre-record this, I'm sorry to say. But we can find out later on if management is going to notice any of this. 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, again, if you want to keep this radio program on the air, and if you want to keep the overnight radio programs in general on the air, you need to call us. You need to call us now. Call 1-212-209-2950 and pledge some amount of money to this radio station in the name of Back of the Book. You will be helping to keep all of the overnights on the air. If we can get enough people to donate enough money, management will notice. Right now, they're not noticing. Again, finally, 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. We need to hear from you. I want to mention now that some of you may have tuned in a week ago, and we weren't here. They put on a pitching special. Now, we hadn't gotten actual notice of that. We didn't know about it until on Friday afternoon. I looked at WBAI, its website, and I looked at the schedule, and I noticed we were preempted for a special. So I said, oh, but I'm sorry we didn't show up. People on Twitter who were following us, we wrote to and said, yeah, we're preempted all of a sudden. That kind of thing can happen, but we're hoping it will not happen again. Guy Reffitt of Texas went to the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. He went there with a holstered handgun, a helmet, zip-tie handcuffs, and body armor in an attempt to prevent the counting of the ballots in the 2020 presidential election. Mr. Reffitt was found guilty in March of 5 criminal counts, including obstructing Congress counting of the Electoral College votes that officially gave Joe Biden a win in the election. Mr. Reffitt, he got an 87-month sentence, which is more than 7 years. It's the longest sentence, it's one of the longest sentences, of any of the insurrectionists so far, but less than half of what the prosecutors have wanted for him. He should have gotten more. U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Nessler told the judge, quote, he wanted to physically and literally remove Congress. We do believe that he is a domestic terrorist, unquote. Reffitt was a member of the far-right-wing militia group, the Three Percenters, and he reportedly told fellow militia group members that he planned to drag House Speaker Nancy Pelosi out of the Capitol building by her ankles, quote, with her head hitting every step on the way down, unquote, according to a court filing. Yeah, nice person. Should have gotten more than 87 months. This guy is the moron who told his son and daughter that they would be traitors if they reported him to the authorities. And he warned his own kids that, quote, traitors get shot, unquote. His 19-year-old son Jackson testified against him in court. Since our last program, Donnie Bonespur Trump has had his place raided by the feds. He's now saying that it was all right for him to take that stuff home and keep it because he was just taking work home. A comedian retorted online that Trump doesn't have that job anymore, so he can't take stuff home from the job. And the comedian likened what Trump is trying to pull as being like a babysitter who's no longer employed to babysit a kid, who then goes and picks the kid up from school and takes the kid home. And the comedian points out, that's not taking work home, that's kidnapping. As we prepare this program for the air, the Florida judge has not released anything from the affidavit that the FBI used to get all that stuff. It was all in a basement that originally didn't even have a lock on it, so just anybody could have wandered in there. You know, he has waiters and stuff and busboys that there, you know, and what if the Russians wanted to look at that? It'd be pretty goddamned easy that way. Anyway, nuclear secrets and other things, of some of which are beyond top secret, were in there for anyone who wandered into that basement to see. Again, Russia, China, other nation states that would like to know some secrets. Yeah, here it is, folks. It's not under guard at the Pentagon. It's in the basement of this golf course. Anyway, I wonder if Trump had ideas about selling some of that stuff. Really, I wonder. I mean, I wonder if he let anyone from Russia in there, and, you know, just to be there, because if they flatter him, he'd let them go in there and look. He might also have had an idea to exchange it all for the PP tape. I wonder if that crossed his mind, because we're not sure there's a PP tape. But if there is, he knows there is, and he might say, hey, I got this stuff, let's trade. Like an idiot, as if they wouldn't make 1,000 copies of that damn thing. But, you know, also, it could be he would, maybe some of that stuff, he would simply be trying to sell on eBay. Simply as, hey, this is how I'm going to make money off having been president. He already did stuff like that, trying to make money off being president. Oh, boy. So Trump is really, really careful about keeping people from seeing his taxes, but nuclear secrets he doesn't consider that important. Meanwhile, a lot of those law and order Republicans are hollering to defund the FBI, and they're getting some of Trump's base all riled up with this stuff. One guy tried to storm an FBI field office and ended up getting killed. You got to be pretty stupid to figure, I got a gun, I can go in there and shoot all the FBI guys. You know, every last one of them carries a gun and they have training, right? So, yeah, you're going to go in there and kill all the FBI guys. And I think he got stuck in the door. I think, you know, there are metal detectors and just loads of people with guns everywhere. Plus, the FBI has special people in there who don't just carry sidearms. They've got real arms. And they got rifles and automatic weapons. So it isn't simply a case of you're going to be in there hoping a cop can't quite aim because, you know, he has this short-range pistol. They're going to have guys in there who'll, you know, put 300 rounds in the space you're occupying inside of 30 seconds. So, crap. You got to be really stupid to think you're going to storm the FBI with a rifle and I think you had a nail gun. Oh, you had a nail gun. That's going to really work. In some computer games, that works. In real life, not so much. And a moron from Pennsylvania who had threatened to kill as many FBI agents as he could on a right-wing social media site named Gab, has been charged with influencing, impeding, or retaliating against federal law enforcement officers after he made his public threats to kill them all. Another complete moron, as if they're not going to find out about this, and as if they're going to say, that's okay, you can say that stuff, especially since he did it after this other jackass went in and got himself shot. And the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues, and the Russians have a base on the Black Sea named Saki, and they had some explosions there within the last fortnight. The Russian military said that some munitions had blown up, somehow. But a lot of people suspected that long-range rockets fired by the Ukrainian military had hit the base in Crimea and that planes were blown up, because the Ukrainians are saying, we blew up some planes. However, there was another story some days later that may throw some light on all of this. There are Ukrainians still in the occupied eastern section of their country. And apparently they're using plastic airplanes, toy airplanes, basically. They're using them as drones, and they're either dropping small bombs from these planes, or they're attaching small bombs to them and flying them into targets like Russian high-end fighter planes. And so this may be how they got the Russian planes, was to just fly this little toy airplane in there, and it has a bomb on it, so it blows up. And for this plane that probably costs less than $100, they take out a couple of $100 million worth of very high-grade fighter aircraft. Yeah, that works in the favor of the Ukrainians, all right. Of course, now a nuclear plant is in play. And the last we heard, the Russians have told the workers at the plant, don't come to work tomorrow. What the hell are they going to do? I mean, are they going to do something like, the ultimate scorched earth and say, okay, the Ukrainians don't like us here. We're going to just have a meltdown and let this thing go all the way instead of trying to save it. And maybe it will draw the Ukrainians in to try and save it, and we could shoot them as they come in. That might be what's going on. Or they might be trying some other thing. Maybe they're going to bring in Russian experts to try and neutralize the nuclear plant. And they've been using it as a place to launch attacks from because, of course, it's built very heavily. And if you hit that place with a shell isn't going to go far because you got yards of reinforced concrete and steel containers, so they can hide behind all that. But who knows? Who knows what the hell's going to go on with a nuclear reactor? The Russians, formerly the Soviets, don't have a very good track record with nuclear power plants, Chernobyl. And this past week, President Biden got some victories for a change. The climate bill passed after Manchin got money for his wealthy fossil fuel patrons, and Sinema got her hedge fund pals protected from nasty things like taxes. Yeah, making sausage, but it's good that the bill regarding climate got passed. Maybe we can do a little something, and maybe the young people who are going to have to live with this for the rest of their lives will get a little relief from this, we hope. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
Okay, I hope some of you called up and pledged for us. We'll be back next week with all sorts of things going on. It's going to be late summer, and that has some special looks to it as well. Go out, enjoy that if you can, or at least look out the window and enjoy it. And above all, remember what that watching out for the Kraken Dormouse said.
This radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of me.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We'd kill ourselves!
WBAI accepts snowmobiles. If you have a snowmobile, we want it. We also want any extra cars, trucks, SUVs, RVs, boats, and more. Any reason is a good reason to give a vehicle to WBAI. Some do it to avoid the hassles of selling. Some like to skip the costs of repairing, while others just enjoy the good feelings of giving back to their community. But no matter your reason, donating a vehicle to WBAI is a great idea. And it's easy. Here's how it works. Simply call 866-WBAI-CAR. That's 866-922-4227. Or give online at WBAI.org/donate-your-car. Our vehicle donor support team will arrange your free pickup. When the driver arrives to tow away your great gift, you'll receive a donation receipt. Vehicle donations have the potential to drive hundreds and sometimes even thousands of dollars to WBAI. Call 866-WBAI-CAR or visit WBAI.org/donate-your-car.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be held on Sunday, August 21st, 2022 at 1 p.m., please note that all the numbers have changed. The new call-in number is 619-309-1058. The new meeting ID number is 641711. And also note that the CAB officer elections will be held in early December by email ballot. To vote, you must be a CAB member. You must join WBAI and attend 3 out of 4 consecutive CAB meetings and be a member at the November meeting. Again, the new call-in number is 619-309-1058. And the new meeting ID number is 641711. Everyone is welcome to call in and join the meeting. That's the Community Advisory Board for WBAI, Sunday, August 21st, 2022, at 1 p.m.
Hey, this is Michael, a BAI buddy from Brooklyn. WBAI, oh, WBAI, you're listening to WBAI, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Listen and learn. And become a BAI buddy today.
Hey, Harry, old buddy, old pal.
So I want you to be my buddy.
I can't be.
You've got a friend.
Friends or buddies, as we like to refer to you as here at WBAI. Either way, we invite you to join us and become a member of this fine radio station. We want to partner with you, but we want to do it in the least imposing and most painless way possible. Here's the deal. It's called the Buddy Pledge. You give us your support for 12 months, and we give you access to the most eclectic music, as well as the best and thought-provoking news, talk, and community affairs. Sound good? See it in your heart to pledge a minimum of $10 per month. Each payment will automatically be deducted from your credit or bank statement, so there's no reminders needed. Just join us for a one-year membership and go online at www.give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org and be part of our vibrant community. WBAI New York.